Friends. I am your host, Scott Davis. Right alongside me, Jason Hickey.
Well, hello there, Scott.
It's been a while.
It has.
In fact, we normally do two episodes each of WandaVision, which
right,
we're
going
to be
right.
talking about. But someone had a birthday, and so they didn't want to come to recording on that day, so now we have three episodes.
Yes, my child dared to have a birthday.
No. We're not blaming children on this one. You do not blame children.
Why not?
Because it's wrong. It's yourself. It's all your own fault.
I disagree.
You're the one that sired the child. It is your fault for them to be born that day.
That's awful. Anyway.
Anyway, we're going to talk about WandaVision's episode 5-7.
Mm-hmm.
Now, okay. Episode 7 is going to have a lot of spoilers.
Yes.
So let's start off with episode 5.
All right, episode 5. This one is called On a Very Special Episode. And we have arrived in the 80s.
We have. And also what's arrived are Billy and Tommy.
Mm-hmm.
I know they were born last time, but we have them in Wanda's and Vision's arm crying up a storm.
Yes, as children do.
Yes. But they grow up really fast.
Yeah, they essentially...
5-year spurts.
Yeah, they morphed into 5-year-olds, and then when she said they weren't old enough for the stray dog they found, they morphed into 10-year-olds.
So what originally happened was she was complaining to Vision, like, oh no, this is... And Agnes was there at the time, too.
Mm-hmm.
So Agnes was, you know, in the room, and she says, oh no, I can't do this, it's too much. And then all of a sudden... When Wanda's complaining that it's too much and about the babies, then the kids then morphed into 5-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
And again, when she was saying that she wanted to, because Agnes walked in at this time when they found the dog in the house and everything like that. But Agnes was again in the house at the time, and they said, "Oh, well, you have to be 10 years old." And at the time, they morphed to 10-year-olds.
Yeah,
and I mentioned the Agnes thing. You'll find out in episode 7.
Yes.
But you probably didn't pick on that either.
I knew she was there one of the times. I guess I didn't... I need to see. This is going to be one of those shows where it's going to be great to go back and watch it after you see the reveal.
Exactly. So, you know, there was some like 80s hijink stuff going on.
Oh, yeah. This was essentially Full House.
Yes. Well, I mean, the way the house was set up was definitely a Full House setup.
Yeah.
But it was more Growing Pains, actually, and Family Ties. So the actual opening sequence with the paintbrushes and all that stuff, that was mm-hmm. pure Family Ties.
Okay. So one of my favorite parts of the episode
mm-hmm.
was Vision has to go into work.
Yes.
And it's mainly that Wanda kind
of... Wants him out of the house.
Yeah, she wants him out of the house because he's starting to ask too many questions. But he goes into work and they have these newfangled devices.
The computers!
Uh-huh. That's pretty great.
Yes. No. They had computers before. But it was... They had this new electronic mail. Or, as Vision says, it's email.
Right.
But that's the newfangled word for it?
This sequence was home to one of the best parts of the episode.
Is it when they saw the email itself or when they turned?
When he turns.
Okay.
Because when they get the email, it's great. Because they get an email and it's from S.W.O.R.D.
And then everyone reads the email in unison.
Yes, which was pretty creepy. But then Vision, I don't know how he does it, because I mean, I his power set is slightly different than what it really was when he was, you know, alive.
Mm-hmm.
He zaps, was it Herb?
No, it was Norm.
No, Herb was the, yeah, Norm. Herb's the neighbor.
Herb's the neighbor. Norm's the co-worker.
He zaps Norm's head, and Norm completely exits Wanda's control.
And he is freaking out.
Yeah. And he needs his phone. He needs to call his family, and he needs to know that Vision, are you going to help us? She won't let us do anything. And Vision eventually had to zap him again and bring him back into it. That was great.
And it's seeing that the email from Darcy Lewis was... You know, showing Vision himself saying, there's this Maximoff anomaly going on?
Yeah. That's the thing. He's starting to kind of peel back the layers and realize that
yep.
this is not what it seems.
Yes. And so he goes back home to try to talk to Wanda, or not really talk to Wanda. Yes,
but they had a personal tragedy. The dog died.
It did.
It got into Agnes's yard.
Well, actually, the dog ran away.
Right.
Because they... I don't know. I don't remember exactly why it ran away, but the dog ran away. They were out searching the neighborhood for the dog.
They find that the dog got into Agnes's yard and ate her plant?
It was an herb. I don't remember what herb it was exactly.
Apparently it's deadly.
But it's an herb that's deadly to dogs.
Yeah.
And the dog died, as Jason has said.
Yes. And then Wanda
And then the kids wanted to grow back up again. They wanted to get older to be okay with the death.
They wanted to become jaded teenagers.
Yes, but Wanda would not let that happen.
Yes, and it's pretty funny hearing Wanda tell them how they can't escape the grief of death and they need to accept it.
Which is the whole reason why Vision is still alive.
Yeah, she is not practicing what she preaches.
No, which we found that Vision was actually taken out of a sword facility when we were on the side watching about what Monica was doing.
Yeah, because essentially Sword was experimenting on Vision after, you know, they recovered his body in Wakanda and were experimenting on him to try and get him operational.
Yes. And, you know, this is when Monica, Jimmy, and Darcy were trying to, you know, get some more answers and try to find out what was happening. When they were doing the searching, they found about Project Cataract. Mm-hmm. And when they find about Project Cataract, it's about Vision.
Yeah.
Yes. So they found out what Project Cataract was, and they also were like, well, when you went in and you got changed, but you're also your body armor and everything got actually changed to the era that it was in.
Right.
Now they know that they're in the 80s right now, and they're like, you know what? We have a drone that can go into there so we can actually see what's going on. And the drone is made in the 80s. So, like, okay, yeah, we'll get the drone, send it in, so we'll be able to get some reconnaissance and see what's actually happening on the inside.
Right. Good plan.
It was a great plan. Drone comes down, Wanda sees the drone, and she's not happy.
Right.
She doesn't do anything to the drone yet. Yet is the operative word.
Yes.
Because the drone, they actually communicate, because they are able to communicate between the two, and then at a point, the acting director, he then says, this is going nowhere, and he shoots the missile that was on the drone.
Yes, because he's not a smart man.
And that's when Wanda then destroys the drone, comes out of the hex bubble, and shoves the drone right in their face.
And basically says, leave me alone, or you'll regret it. And he's like, oh, well, you know, we want to help you. What do you need? She's like, I got everything I need.
And at the time of the conversation, her voice had changed from standard American accent when she's in the bubble to being the sort of Sokovian accent when she was outside the bubble.
Right.
And so you could definitely hear the, you know, accents changing and stuff like that, which is actually decent what Lizzie was doing for the acting on that. And the other good thing was she took control of everyone's mind, pointed gun. They all had the guns pointed at Wanda. But then she took all of them, took their minds, and had them point the guns at the acting director.
Now, I will say, this seems like it's an upgrade in her powers.
Mm-hmm.
Because in Age of Ultron, she had to be next to the people.
Yes. Like,
wiggling her fingers in their brains in order to get them to see the illusion or the altered reality that she wanted them to see. Now, she's able to affect a dozen people at once from a distance of 30 feet.
But you also have to understand that she actually created this bubble, and the people were inside. She's actually controlling everyone in the bubble.
Well, right. But I'm saying, like, there's been a pretty hefty increase in her powers.
But maybe she's not controlling the people in the bubble.
Well, she was certainly controlling the guys pointing the guns at the director.
That's true. But we go back into the bubble.
Yes.
And when we go back into the bubble, Vision comes down, and he starts to yell at Wanda about what's happened at his work.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't want to hear it, so she starts rolling the credits.
That was hilarious.
And Vision's like, no, stop this. And they keep on arguing in the next room.
Yeah.
And, you know, Vision flies. Wanda then starts her hex thing and starts to fly. It was pretty good.
It was getting pretty intense.
And then she then sits on the couch and she says, what, you actually think I control everyone in this? I control everyone going to the banks and doing everything that they do for the normal day-to-day activity.
Describing it as if she was doing it.
Yes.
Because, yes, she is doing that.
Yes. And then there's a knock on the door. Or is the doorbell ring? I don't know. Someone's at the door.
Someone's at the door. And Vision is very incredulous because he thinks that she did this. She swears she didn't.
She swears she's not. And she opens the door.
Who is it, Scott?
It is Pietro Maximoff, or...
Kind of.
It's actually Peter from the X-Men universe, the other Quicksilver.
Yes.
So we have Evan Peters, who was the Quicksilver in the X-Men universe, and he's now Pietro Maximoff in WandaVision.
Yes. And the greatest thing is, Darcy actually calls this for what it is.
Darcy sees it on the screen. She's like, did they recast Pietro? And that was a great ending for the episode.
Yes.
And now, episode 6.
The Halloween episode!
Into the 90s.
Yes.
And it is the Halloween episode. We get to see everyone in their costumes. Now, when I say everyone, I am not just talking about Wanda and Vision. I mean, the costume for Quicksilver, loved it. Absolutely loved it.
Mm-hmm.
They had the same, you know, Quicksilver sort of costume for Speed, and they had the Wiccan costume, and the Wiccan costume actually looked amazing. I actually thought that looked just like Wiccan.
That's pretty cool.
Now, they gave an explanation for what Wanda's costume looked like, why it looked like, and it was because it was a Sarkovian
fortune teller.
Thank you. Yes. A Sarkovian fortune teller.
Yeah.
And Vision's was a Lucha Libre wrestler.
But that makes sense, because then he can have his red face and no one cares.
Exactly. And so that was great. In the episode, we saw Herb as Frankenstein.
Yep.
And that's sort of because she's controlling Herb, and he's the monster that's being right. controlled.
And you know, she's controlling him to a point.
Yep.
Because if you remember when she talks to him, he actually makes it a point to ask her, is everything okay? Do you need me to do anything different?
Yes.
So the people in this reality are attempting to please her, probably because they're terrified for their lives.
Yeah. Well, because, I mean, when Norm got out, he was pretty much screaming.
Yeah.
And then the other character that we see in a costume that we know is Agnes.
Yes.
And Agnes is just as a witch.
Mm-hmm.
And as I've been keep on saying every episode so far, that she is Agatha Harkness.
You have been saying that. A witch. You have been saying that.
Yes. Now, going back to the beginning of the episode, we have... It's pretty much the opening is just Malcolm in the Middle.
Oh, yeah. And it was great, because I loved Malcolm in the Middle.
Yeah. With the kids talking to the camera and everything like that. And you definitely saw it was because it's, you know, three children. Pietro was the third, you know, the older child that got kicked out of military school.
Yeah. He was the slacker uncle, but yes, that's exactly the role he filled.
Yeah. And, you know, he jets around. He's like, I'm going to suck your blood. that was hilarious the way they did that.
The way they kind of set it up is everybody's going out trick-or-treating because it's the Halloween episode, except for Vision. He's going to go on Neighborhood Watch.
Which is understandable because he is on the Neighborhood Watch group.
Right. This was established in episode 1. 2? You're right. It was 2.
It's okay.
Anyway, he's on the Neighborhood Watch. So this episode was largely Wanda and Pietro together.
Mm-hmm.
With the kids, but you had some really good dialogue between the two of them.
It was actually really good, and it was a good communication between the two. Pietro actually knows what Wanda's doing, and he actually says, you're controlling everyone, and your power's gotten a lot better, a lot more control.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the last thing I remember was being gunned down in the streets.
Yeah. So he has the memories of the Ultron, Age of Ultron, Quicksilver, played by Aaron Taylor Johnson, but he doesn't know why he looks different.
You know, they were both in the same movie.
They were
both in Kick-Ass.
Mm-hmm. Underrated movie. Well, not really underrated because everybody loves it, but good movie.
Yes.
But then we find out that Vision is not scheduled to be on Neighborhood Watch.
No, he is actually looking around. He's actually walking all around town trying to see what's going on.
Right. We got a nice little a boundary drop from Wanda when she told her kids not to go past a certain street.
Ellis Street. Now, most likely it's named after Warren Ellis.
What about Harlan Ellis?
I was going more with Warren Ellis because he actually wrote some of the comics.
Probably. And it's Harlan Ellison now that I think of it. Whatever. Anyway, it's Ellis Street. And when we see Vision, you know, doing his rounds, he does, you know, he gets to the farther away from the epicenter of town.
And as further he gets, he's seeing that people are either being extremely slow or not even moving at all.
Right. They're paused, which was creepy.
Mm-hmm.
Including
Agnes.
Right.
So he flew up in the air, and he was trying to look around and see what was going on. He saw there was a car at the end of a street, and the car lights were on, so he knew that someone just drove out there.
Right.
And so it just happened. So he's like, I want to go and see what's going on. So he flies out there, drops down, and he looks in the car, and he sees Agnes in the car.
Mm-hmm.
What does he do? Touches her head, just like he did to Norm. She was a little freaked out. Not as much as Norm was, but she was a little freaked out.
Mm-hmm.
And then she says to him, you're dead.
Right.
Am I dead? You're dead.
Yeah, and you're an Avenger.
Yes.
And he has no idea who the Avengers are.
Nope.
It makes sense, because if Wanda's building this reality, why would she want to build the thing that caused him to die?
Exactly. And he then puts Agnes back to Agnes.
Yeah, he re-zaps her.
And she then drives off.
Mm-hmm.
And then he starts to walk to the end, because this actually is Ellis Street.
Right.
Is where they're at.
Right.
And he walks out of the bubble. And as he walks out of the bubble, he starts to break apart.
Right. Because the first thing to go was this part of his head.
Yeah, yeah. Now, before all of this, in the Monica side of the world.
Mm-hmm. So, Monica is understandably pissed at the director. Because in the last episode, he tried to have Wanda killed.
It's just a rocket.
Just a rocket. Because, basically, we find out that his whole purpose is to stop Wanda to recover Vision. Especially now that Vision is somehow alive. Because that's all he cares about.
Yes. When Monica was pretty much berating him, he then kicked out the Three Musketeers.
Yes.
And so they left, but they were actually going to be, you know, arrested. But Monica and Jimmy did some little kung fu.
I didn't know Jimmy had it in him.
He was good. And, you know, so then they get out. They go to do some little more research, and they find out about the Vision, and they started tracking Vision. Well, then Monica says, "Well, I have a astrophysicist friend, you know, that's going to get me some stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go see them." So Jimmy and Monica get into a car. They drive off. Darcy stays there, and then when Vision actually comes out of the bubble, the rest of S.W.O.R.D. come out, and they all just sit there and they're watching. And Darcy's like, "What are you doing?
Right.
Go help him."
Mm-hmm. Back in the bubble, Billy or Tommy, whichever one is Wiccan, can hear Vision's, you know...
mind.
Yeah, can hear his mind and can hear the problem that's going on. So Wanda, she can't get there in time. So she freezes everyone where they are,
mm-hmm.
and focuses everything and expands the bubble.
But before she did that, Quicksilver is like... he's dead already. You don't have to do anything about it.
Insensitive Jag.
So then she pushes him off and he just like falls.
Yeah.
Like through a couple of wall things. And then the bubble expands and it takes in S.W.O.R.D.
Right.
Darcy has now been put into the bubble and S.W.O.R.D. has now changed into a circus.
And all of S.W.O.R.D. is now clowns.
A lot of the S.W.O.R.D. are clowns. Some of them are
Which
not.
Was fantastic.
Yes, they changed. And the director got into a car as soon as he saw the bubble started going, and he just started jetting off.
Yeah.
So the director is jetting off. Monica and Jimmy are driving. They're already driving away, so they were pretty a decent distance already.
Right.
But the bubble was now expanded.
It expanded a lot farther than I thought it was going
yes,
to. Yes. I figured she was going to go and stop when she got Vision.
No. She went out. She went past the Welcome to Westview sign.
Oh, yeah.
She went past a used car dealership.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I think it was like 8 miles out is what happened.
It was quite a bit.
Yeah. So it did a decent expansion on there. And that's the end of episode 6.
Mm-hmm.
Episode 7.
This is a good one.
This was a good one. And this is the Office episode. I know everyone's comparing it to Modern Family because it was in a house, but this was more Office.
As I say, they had the interviews with, you know, characters on the show in character.
Yeah.
It was the Office.
It was the Office.
And maybe you could make the argument that it was a combination of the two.
Yeah. But it was, to me, the song at the beginning was definitely the Office theme.
Yeah.
The actual Wanda, you know, changing, you know, sign that was from Happy Endings, which is a show by the Russo brothers.
Okay.
So, and that was done in the early 2000s.
Okay. Makes sense.
So this is, you know, the 2000s. I don't believe it's the aughts yet. And no. Modern Family is the aughts. And that's why I'm like, I'm leaning more just The Office on that.
That's where the interviews definitely put it firmly in The Office.
Well, I mean, they do the interviews on Modern Family too. That's why, but
it felt more The Office.
It felt, to me, it felt more of The Office when I'm watching it.
Yeah.
But nonetheless.
So, Vision is not back. He is in the bubble, but he has not returned to the house. And in the house, you've got Wanda, who's essentially slipped into depression.
She has, but it's also the very beginning of the episode where the kids come in to start, you know, complaining about their game not working.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she shooes them away. She's sort of in depression. But then she flips the cover off of her, and she's still in her Halloween costume, which means, like, she had a drunken night for Halloween.
Oh, yeah. But also nowhere to be seen is her brother.
Yes. Yeah, so we don't see Pietro anywhere yet.
Yeah, all it is in the house is her and the boys.
Yes, she comes down the stairs, she's not feeling so well. She's not wearing her normal red outfits either. She's wearing like a blue robe and stuff like that. Agnes comes in, and she's like, oh, take care of the boys.
Right.
She's like, yeah, go with the Auntie Agnes. Earlier, Wiccan was saying, I can't stand, there's too many people in my head, I'm having a hard time. When he goes into Agnes's house, he's like, I like it here. It's quiet. I don't hear any thoughts coming out of you.
Yeah, that was some red flags.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. So that's what we get for the kids. And Wanda's pretty much just trying to get herself together.
Yeah, and she's right now meandering around the house.
Yes.
In her pajamas.
But we'll go to Vision now.
Yes.
Vision wakes up.
And he is in the bubble, and he looks up, and hey, there's a circus.
It's a circus, and a strong man comes by and is like, you're a clown, aren't you? You're supposed to be with the group.
Yeah.
And he's like, who are you working with? Oh, you're supposed to be working with the...
escape artist.
The escape artist.
Which is great, because who's the escape artist?
Darcy Lewis.
Who is chained up as the escape artist because she was handcuffed when she was sucked into the bubble.
Exactly.
It's fantastic.
You know, then she just, you know, takes the chains right off. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, that was great stuff.
Vision then goes up to Darcy and, you know, like zap, mm-hmm. and she now remembers who she is.
Yes, and she does not freak out because she knows what's going on.
One, but two, it's also because this just happened.
Right, she's literally been there for...
maybe a minute.
Yeah.
So this just happened, and she really hasn't had the trauma of what has been happening to everyone else in Westview.
Right.
They then go and steal a truck, start to drive off, and... I thought this was a great line. She says, I love WandaVision. It's a great show. I've been watching it for a week.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
So this whole episode is breaking the fourth wall.
Oh, yeah. Lots of people have their little interviews. And yeah, there's her talking about the show while she's in the show. And...
yeah, yeah. It's just, it was really good. And so they're driving, and then all of a sudden there's like a construction crew stops by and like... they stop traffic, and so they can't go anywhere because they're working on the lights. And then the construction crew leaves, and then we have a group of school children rising mm-hmm. by. And it's like everything that can happen is just like the Truman Show. Remember how in the Truman Show, when they didn't want Truman to drive in a certain direction, they then all of a sudden got like, you know, traffic jam up to everywhere.
Yeah, except in this, it's Wanda just keeping them away.
Is it Wanda?
Well, could be.
It could be. So then we have them finally getting in. But we have Monica
mm-hmm.
outside the bubble. She meets up with a group of... are they sword members or are they...
I think they are sword members because the woman did say that some were loyal to her mother.
Yes. And the equipment that she got was a sword vehicle.
Is this her astrophysicist friend?
I do not believe it is.
Are you still holding out hope that her astrophysicist friend is Reed Richards?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Okay.
They never said that she was an astrophysicist.
They didn't. That is true.
And she said that she was getting something from her astrophysicist friend, which she could have, you know, they could have picked it up earlier.
They could have.
And so I do not want to say it is, because I am still
hoping. Just holding out hope that you're going to see John Krasinski come out as Reed Richards.
Which would have been perfect, because this was the Office episode.
It would have. There was rumors going around on the internet, but it didn't happen.
I know. I know. But she gets into the vehicle. She starts to drive into it, and as soon as she hits that bubble, it literally is a hit.
Yeah.
It doesn't go anywhere. Yeah.
Now, just to recap, this vehicle, according to their calculations, was supposed to drive right through the bubble, essentially. She was going to be able to go in and be protected while she was in this.
Well, that vehicle was not going anywhere.
Well.
And she jumped out of it.
It was going somewhere. It wasn't going anywhere until it started to be sucked in.
Yes. It started to get sucked in.
And be transformed.
And then it got spit out.
Uh-huh.
But like I said, she did jump out of it before that happened.
She did. I did love the fact that it was half minivan and half space vehicle.
Yes.
That was pretty fantastic.
So she's actually dressed in like sort of a spacesuit right now.
Yeah.
She took off the helmet, threw it down, and then she decides to go in on her own.
Right. Because she's thinking, I made it through a couple times. I can make it through a third time.
Well, before that, we were told from Darcy when she was still with them that her cells have actually changed from going in and getting kicked out.
Yeah.
So going in again. Yeah.
When she said going in the third time, we knew what was happening.
So she pushes herself in, and all of a sudden you see multiple versions of her.
Yeah.
While she's going in. It's the version of the 50s, version of the 60s, version of the 70s. I don't think we saw the 50s, but we saw the 60s, we saw the 70s. We saw the original version of her walking in.
Right.
And we saw the version of her in the spacesuit.
Right. And we heard the dialogue, the voices that she was hearing was like dialogue with her mother, dialogue with the doctor that told her mother was dead.
Dialogue from Captain Marvel.
Yes.
But then she finally gets shot out on the other end, which is in Westview. Her eyes start to glow, and she's able to see spectrums.
Mm-hmm.
Just remember, people, one of her names was Spectrum. She was Captain Marvel, she was Spectrum, she was Photon. So, she has a couple of different, superhero names, but one of them is Spectrum.
They're definitely introducing a new hero here, and I like it. I like that it kind of happened organically through the show, and it's cool.
She then jettisons off, goes, and she gets to Wanda's house. And goes in to see Wanda. Now, when I looked at her in her outfit without the, the spacesuit on, I thought Star Trek.
A little bit.
Yes.
Wow. Mark it down, folks. Scott brought up Star Trek, and I didn't.
I know. All right. But she goes in, and she's pretty much telling Wanda, I know, I'm still me. I'm still Monica. I forgot her name already. What was her name before?
Geraldine.
Thank you. And she's not Geraldine. And she's telling, like, you trusted me. You let me in before. I want to help you. Am I here to hurt you? Let me help you. And then all of a sudden, Wanda, she's actually in a red hoodie now. So she has her red back.
Yeah.
And she's like, she wants to go see her kids. And she has to go see Agnes.
I was like, Agnes came and took Wanda and told Monica, you need to leave. You're not welcome here.
Yes. Then, so Monica is now gone. And Wanda is with Agnes in Agnes's house.
Mm-hmm.
You see like a cicada on the wall. You see Mr. Scratchy, her bunny, but you don't see the kids.
Right. You don't even hear the kids.
No.
She says, oh, it's fine. They're playing in the basement. So Wanda goes to the door and she finds the door to the basement and she goes down in the basement. And then there's all sorts of, I don't know how to describe the basement.
It's a hell dungeon.
Yeah, thank you. Yes.
That's the best way I can describe it. Is it's a dungeon, that was created with hell magic.
Yeah. And then Wanda has no idea what's going on, and then Agnes comes down.
Well, she's looking around. There's a whole bunch of hex stuff around.
Yeah.
Hex walls and hex things with patterns. There's a shiny book in front of her. Now, the shiny book is either the Necronomicon or the Darkhold, or there's a whole bunch of other random books in the Marvel Universe that could be things. Darkhold has shown up in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show, but Feige has stated already, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is not the same thing as Marvel Universe.
Well, it can't be after the last couple of seasons of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, it still could be the Darkhold is what I'm saying on that. But Agnes comes down, and she's stroking Mr. Scratchy.
She looked at her and said, you're not the only one with magic here. I am Agatha Harkness.
Who called it?
You called it. You did.
And then we get a little interlude song of,
it was Agatha all along.
All along. You see a couple of things of things she did, and they didn't show the point that I made about the kids changing, but I think she had a point
could be.
In that.
It definitely could be.
Because I do remember that she was in each of those scenes when it was going to happen.
Right.
And I say it was because she was also there when the kids were going to change again when the dog died.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But that's the end of the episode, but not really.
There was a mid-credits scene.
Yeah. And that mid-credits scene is just Monica coming to Agatha's house, opening the door to the basement. And she's seeing all these, like, purplish vines coming up.
Purplish energy.
So purple is the color of Agatha.
Yes.
Red is the color of Wanda. You gotta keep, make sure we keep all that colors good.
Well, that's the thing. It makes me want to go back and see if purple shows up anywhere when some shenanigans happen.
And then right behind her is Pietro. And he says, Snooper is going to snoop.
End cutscene.
End cut. I thought that was a really good episode. That's all three. And we had three commercials in there as well.
Oh, yes.
So the first commercial is for Lagos Paper Towels.
Mm-hmm.
Lagos Paper Towels is for Lagos was where they had the action during Civil War.
Yeah, the beginning of Civil War when she accidentally killed some people.
Yes, and that's what happened. It was. Yeah, and
it's cleaning up your messes
with Lagos. It's cleaning up your messes with Lagos. Lagos, you know, paper towels. And, I mean, people are still going with, oh, this could be the reality stone. Because they're still saying that these are different stones. I'm not on that pattern right now. I don't think
that. I think they're done with the stones. The stones were destroyed. I do not think that it's stones.
But the second commercial that we saw in this was about for Yo Magic. It's a animated, claymation cartoon about a kid stuck on a island.
Mm-hmm.
And a shark comes in and he's like, hey, yeah, you can get out of this with Yo Magic.
Yeah.
And pretty much it's trying to show that Wanda, if she knew how to use her own magic properly, she would be able to be powerful and be able to do everything she needs to do, but she doesn't. And so because she doesn't, she's dying.
Yeah, that was a horrific commercial.
It pretty much the kid, as soon as he gets the cup of Yo Magic, which is, you know, Yo Play.
Yeah.
he keeps on trying to open the lid, and it's like days keep on going by.
And he gets older and older and more gaunt. And
days keep on going by. He's starving. And he can't eat because he doesn't know how to use his magic yet.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like Wanda. She didn't know how to use her magic. And she was taken away from the world during Infinity War. Because she was one of the ones that were snapped away.
Right.
The third commercial is Wanda, or the character in the commercial, is depressed. She doesn't know what to do. Doesn't know where to go. Well, what better way than getting depression medication? This is the Nexus medication.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are multiple Nexus things in the Marvel Universe, but the major thing is the Nexus being, and that is Wanda. Wanda is a Nexus being.
There are multiple
different Nexus beings, but what a Nexus being is, a Nexus being is the same in every universe.
So this is a multiverse thing?
Yes.
Cool.
But it's more the fact that it's sort of talking about this own series, because a lot of people are thinking that the bubble is its own universe. Wanda is the same is a Nexus within it, so she can't change.
Okay.
But they're able to bring in Quicksilver.
Right.
Who is a different being in a different universe.
Which we did see in the Agatha All Along thing, that Agatha is the one who brought him.
Yes, but he could have brought from a different universe. And that is where I'm coming with. I think this is sort of playing along within the show itself.
Yeah.
As well as with Endgame, because of the depression from Endgame.
Oh, yeah.
And going to the beginning of the show. So that is my take on the three commercials.
It's good stuff. I'm looking forward to it. Got two episodes left.
Two episodes left, and we will come back to you in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. And now we have a crap ton of news.
Just a small amount.
A small crap ton.
Small crap ton.
Okay.
So, there is a DC film for Blue Beetle. It's going to be coming out. Now, this is, I think it's the third Blue Beetle, because there's multiple Blue Beetles, but the Jaime Reyes Blue Beetle.
Oh, as opposed to the other Blue Beetles that I don't know who they are.
I told you, there were three of them.
I'm unfamiliar with Blue Beetle.
The Blue Beetle that I grew up with was Ted Kord. And he dressed up in a little Lakers suit, and he was a good tech person. He was really good, but he dressed up like a beetle. And Jaime Reyes, though, his Blue Beetle is actually an alien suit. So an alien thing got attached to him, and it actually creates a suit, and he's able to then create tech things out of the suit.
Oh, so he's kind of like Earthworm Jim.
Sort of, yeah.
Okay. Dope.
Yeah.
I can get behind that.
And it's sort of big news because it's the first Latino going to be having his own, Latino comic character having his own movie.
Okay.
Because cool. Jaime Reyes is a Latino character.
All right.
Yes.
Any relation to Robbie Reyes?
No.
No. Oh, yes. Sorry. Wrong comic company.
Yes.
I'm terrible.
But they tapped the Charm City King director Angel Manuel Soto will be directing.
Cool. All right. Bring on the superhero movies. The show Krypton is now available to stream for free on the CW Seed app.
Yes. And it is only the first two seasons because there are only two seasons.
You know, I heard good things about it, but I never actually watched it.
Yeah, and that's the problem.
I guess this came down to, do I really want to know about all these characters who are going to die at the end of the series?
Yeah, I mean, not all, but the thing was, it's the grandfather, so it's a whole generation to pass. They're going to die anyways. Everyone's going to die, but...
Yeah, I guess. I'll probably watch it eventually, just, you know, I have other things on my plate because Scott keeps dumping stuff on me.
I do. Yes. He likes it, though. Because
I don't, because the show I'm watching now is...
We will go into that show when we go into it.
I know.
But, Zack Snyder news. So there's been a lot of, you know, because the Snyder Cut should be coming out pretty soon.
Oh yeah, next couple weeks.
Yeah. And, you know, they're already saying that he has a dedication for his daughter, because his daughter died during the original filming. And so he has dedication for his daughter is going to be in that movie.
Good. It makes sense. It's very, very sweet, too.
Yes. But we also found out that both Christopher Nolan and his wife, Deborah, went to him and said, do not watch the theatrical version. Just do not. Just don't. You will be pissed off if you watch it.
I love this story because it's like the people around him knew that this was his baby.
Yes.
And that just the theatrical version is completely not...
Oh, it's not just that.
It's not what he envisioned.
No. We're getting, you know, stuff saying that even Warner execs, when they watched it, when it was originally, you know, being ready, Warner execs were saying, this is just a piece of crap.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, if the Warner exec was saying that at that time, why did they release it?
Because at that point, they had so much money into it, they had to.
Yes.
In order to try and make the money back, they had to release it.
I mean, one other thing is they wanted to release the unedited rough cut of Justice League because they thought it was actually better than Whedon's own version.
That's bad, man. So now I'm actually, this is hyping me up even more for the Snyder Cut.
Yeah.
Because it can't possibly be as bad as the theatrical version.
No.
There's bound to be improvements.
But Deborah Snyder, again, Zack's wife.
Yes.
She does say you really should watch it as parts. You should watch part one, part two, part three, part four. You should not binge it together because you're going to miss and you're going to be thinking about part one while you're watching part two.
That's the thing. I kind of wish they would have left this as a four-part series or four episodes, or at least split up that way when they release it.
I thought they were releasing it as a whole,
or maybe they're releasing it as a whole in episodic format, kind of like how Netflix dumps a season.
Yeah, I think they're doing it like that.
Okay, I could deal with that.
And so that's why I think you should follow her advice into watching part one, take like a half an hour break to gather what was going on, and then go to part two.
I'm good with that.
So next we have Marvel news.
Yes, so Moon Knight, Oscar Isaac is apparently the reason that Ethan Hawke joined the cast of the series.
Which is a good sign that you want to have someone to work together with.
Yes.
That, you know, I'm joining because of that actor, but it's also, he read the script and he thought, you know, I'm not going to dislike the script too much, and I stayed with it because I want to work with that actor.
And I got to say, WandaVision has upped the expectation for the Marvel TV shows on Disney+, mm-hmm. because it's so much better than a lot of people anticipate.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. Now, James Gunn teased that he's going to have a third DC project. I don't even know about the
one. I was going to say, this begs to the question, what's the second one?
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know about the Suicide Squad. I don't remember there being what the second project was, but technically it's the Peacemaker TV show.
Okay.
So it's...
Which makes sense.
Yeah. But he's saying that it's with Margot Robbie.
Oh. So maybe another Harley Quinn thing.
Yes.
The Simpsons has cast a new voice for Dr. Hibbard. They've cast Kevin Michael Richardson.
Now, he's actually a pretty good voice actor on his own. He's done a lot of different things. I think it's a good sign that they're going to go try to expand the universe to go get, you know, people of color to do people of color voices, or to get Hispanics to do Hispanic voices. Or
here's the deal. I personally don't care who they get. I just want them to get quality people.
Yeah, and like I said, Kevin Michael Richardson is a good voice actor.
Excellent. Now, I'm wondering, is he going to drastically change the way Dr. Hibbert sounds, or is he going to keep the sound of Dr. Hibbert?
I think it's going to sound similar, and we're definitely going to keep the laughing.
Yeah. Exactly. You have to.
You have to keep the laughing.
We will boycott if they don't. Oh, Scott, you were devastated at this, weren't you?
I didn't find out about this until I saw a meme. And what it was, I saw a picture of Boba Fett and a picture of Din Djarin, and it said they broke up.
Oh, jeez.
and then it said Daft Punk breaks up. And I'm like, oh, damn. So Daft Punk has broken up. But I thought that meme was hilarious.
That is pretty good. I gotta be honest, I did not know Daft Punk existed before Tron Legacy came out, mm-hmm. and I think I've heard one song of theirs outside of that, so.
Okay. Yeah, no, I've heard a couple of their songs, but I'm gonna be honest, I probably didn't listen to it as much as other people have.
It was a great soundtrack for that movie, but it's not something I'm gonna put in and just listen to.
Yeah. Now, The Muppet Show on Disney Plus, they put a disclaimer up on it.
Yes, because The Muppet Show is horrifically offensive.
Yes, well, it was originally made in the 70s.
I know. I'm glad they're doing this rather than saying, oh, we can't have this on here. I still think it's dumb.
But he's being sarcastic when he's saying it's horrifically offensive.
Yes, yeah, because it's not. It's the freaking Muppets, people.
Yes.
Unbunch your underwear.
The show came out from 76 to 81, and yes, they're going to have some racist things in there, unfortunately.
Well, and it's stuff that might just be perceived as racist that's not, or it's stereotypes mainly. Yeah. That's what it is. And I'm sorry, stereotypes have been a part of comedy for years.
It happens.
It does. Like I said, I'm glad they're keeping it up. I think it's a non-issue. In former Mandalorian news, Gina Carano did an interview and described how she was bullied by Lucasfilm and Disney with regard to her beliefs.
How?
Apparently they were making her, like, do huge calls, like Zoom calls with affected people, and were basically making her go through sensitivity training.
So she's being bullied because she had to go through sensitivity training, which anyone in any other job has to do anyways.
I see where she's coming from on this. Bullied might be a strong term, but...
Yeah, this is what I'm saying. It's not being bullied if you actually have to do it. Every other person in any other industry has to go through a sensitivity training.
I don't think anyone else had to do it, though. I think they singled her out because of the things she was saying.
Well, they might have a problem with this next rumored cast as well. Jennifer Lawrence, rumored to be Sue Storm. And I don't like this.
I don't like it either.
It's not that... I think Jennifer Lawrence is a decent actress and everything to that nature. But I've already seen her as Mystique and within this within that X-Men universe as Mystique, she got tired of playing the role.
Exactly.
And I don't want to have someone that's going to get tired of playing a role, which is going to be someone that's kind of important and that might need to be on, you know, six to eight movies.
Exactly. Now, I do, that might not be as much of an issue if this is true, because I know that part of the Mystique thing was the makeup really got to her.
Mm-hmm.
And if she's playing Sue Storm, well, she pretty much has to do absolutely nothing, because she is Sue Storm. You can look at her and look at a picture of Sue Storm, and it's fine.
Yes.
She's a great actress. I would have no problem with her getting the part. I want
to make sure that she's going to stay on.
I want to make sure she's going to stay on, and I don't know if I want to recast somebody who's been in Marvel movies. Yes, I know it's not the MCU, but still.
Yes.
But it wouldn't be the worst.
No. As for starting filming, Michael Douglas has stated that he has, they already do have the start window for when Ant-Man 3 will start.
Woohoo!
I don't think I saw that it actually has a date, but he does say it will be this year.
Well, that's good. I like the Ant-Man movies. They're fun.
Yeah. No, it's definitely a good, you know, it's a good laugh with them. But
as I said, they're a nice break from the very, very overly, not overly serious, but the world-ending Avengers movies.
Yes.
Well, that has been your news, and I have been
no.
Oh, did I break it?
I cut this out. That's all I'm going to do.
I have been your geek, no. Jason. No, what are you doing? What?
Star Trek.
Oh, yeah. I forgot all about it because you put it down and I forgot. One last piece of news that Scott was going to make me cut.
No. Jason was actually ready to end the actual podcast, and I said, no, what are you doing? You told me you had one last thing to put in.
It wasn't on the computer screen, and I forgot. Star Trek Season 2 of Picard is starting production. The cast is there. They're readying filming, and it will be underway, which means there's potential we could get this before the end of the year. I highly doubt it, but we can cross our fingers.
Most likely it will be sometime in the beginning of next year is when we get
it. Yeah, because I know that they're also talking about their all the voice work on Prodigy and Lower Decks Season 2 is done, and they're just animating it, so the worst should be getting that.
Yeah, that'll probably come out before. Yeah.
So I have been your geek, Jason.
And I have been your geek, Scott.
Thank you for listening. Enjoy the rest of your day.